Good morning. My name is Ryan Kimmel. I'm one of the pastors here at Peace Church. I'm the executive pastor. I want to say good morning to you. Good morning to those joining us online, and also good morning to those of you down in the venue. I miss you guys. I'll be with you next week. So if you are new to Peace, or maybe you're newer to Peace, let me catch you up to speed. We are in the midst, we're actually coming to the end of a sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and we're calling it Real Love. Because I think when people look at the Ten Commandments, a lot of times people just see a list of rules. They see law. But to live out the Ten Commandments is an act of love. So today we find ourselves at the ninth commandment. Please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. If you want to use the Bibles in the racks around you, that's found on page 78. As you're turning there, I think in Sunday school lessons and in common understanding, the ninth commandment is kind of boiled down and summarized like this: do not lie. And while there are a commandment, there are commandments in the scriptures that actually say do not lie, that's not the wording of the ninth commandment. As it's stated in Exodus chapter 20, this is what it's written: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. In fact, would you say that with me, and you in the venue as well? Would you say this with me? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And as we get going today, here is the main idea. If we love people, we reject gossip. So with that, let's start with a moment of prayer. Father, we know that you hate a lying tongue. So help us to be people who not only just have clean hands and a pure heart, but help us to have an honest mouth. Help us to be people who build others up rather than tear them down. Father, as we gather here, we're also mindful of our high school students as they are wrapping up their fall weekend revival. We ask, God, that your spirit will continue to move in the hearts of those teenagers. So, Father, I would just ask for us who are gathered here now, Lord, that you'd be with us as we look at your ninth commandment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So if you're a note taker, every sermon in this sermon series has followed the same basic structure. Here's where we're going to go today. We're first going to take a few moments and just look at the commandment itself. Then we're going to take a moment and be convicted. We're going to look at our hearts. And then we're going to look at our lives and see how we are called to live out the ninth commandment. So let's get to it. Commandment, the ninth commandment. Don't lie about people. Don't gossip about them. Tell only truth about people. Is there anyone that can disagree with those statements? It's one of the threads to the fabric of a civil society. In fact, there is no justice if there is no truth. It seems so simple. It should just be assumed. It seems like such a baseline thing. We all should just know it and agree to it. But yet God knows the condition of our human hearts. And he knows that he has to include this in the Ten Commandments. He can't assume we'll follow this. It needs to be stated. More than a perspective or an opinion, this commandment is one of not just honesty, but also truth. The Heidelberg Catechism, that centuries-old document that helps us to understand our faith, helps us to understand this commandment at a deeper level. Listen to how the Heidelberg Catechism describes how we are to live out the ninth commandment. Here's what it says. It says, I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's word, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works under penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must speak the truth. Speak and confess it honestly and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. What this catechism gets at is this, is that this is a commandment of love to promote and honor, to promote honor and reputation. I love how the catechism reminds us of that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and in chapter 5, verse 14, he says this. He says, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is the guiding principle to the law of God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So when this commandment is rightly and fully obeyed, For us to be able to say that I have fulfilled the ninth commandment, it means this. When we are talking about people, it's in love. If you don't genuinely have love for someone, then don't talk about them. When we speak of people for whom we have no love, we probably won't be able to fulfill this commandment, which means we will be sinning. This commandment is about promoting a person's honor and reputation. It's the golden rule and grandma's rule. The golden rule, Jesus' golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is just like grandma's rule. If you don't have anything nice to say, keep your mouth shut. Oh, your grandma must have been a little bit nicer than mine. My grandma said, if you don't have anything nice to say, keep your darn mouth shut, except she didn't say darn. We must not speak unless it's out of love. I'm not saying that we can never speak about someone unless they're present. We can, as long as it's in love. The bottom line is this. If the words we are speaking about another person, if the information that we are sharing about them is not information that we would want shared about us, then don't share it. But if we do, it better be in truth and in love. Because the reality is that this commandment, to live this out, also reflects something about us. This commandment is also about character. When studying the ninth commandment, and we look at the original Hebrew language that this was written in, commentators will note the nuance in the original Hebrew language here emphasizes the judicial aspect of this commandment, how we shouldn't lie about someone in court. But more than a moral objective that helps to regulate a cohesive society, the root of this commandment finds its grounding in the character of God. God who sees and judges people rightly, who is himself truth and is always truthful. God would never say something about anyone that wasn't true, but listen here. God also never speaks unless he is the authority on the matter. God doesn't just give a subjective perspective, he gives a final pronouncement. God speaks out of his character, that is his attributes, but he also speaks out of his authority. So in a sense, we do the same thing. When we speak about someone, we do two things. Number one, when we speak about someone, we are laying our character out on the line. But also when we speak about someone, we're also exercising a level of authority in the matter. Those should be the two guiding principles for helping us to decide when we should open our mouths or when we shouldn't keep them shut. First, you've got something to share about someone? Is it worth putting your character on the line for? Do you want to be known for saying this? Second, if you choose to speak, how much authority are you speaking from? Or did someone just tell you something that was too juicy not to share? So let me ask you this. Who are you the authority on? Who do you have the authority over that you can speak for them? Or let me ask it this way. Who is the authority over you? Who has the right to speak authoritatively on your behalf? Who have you given that right to? Just because you are convinced or you think that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt something about someone else, does it make you the authority on the matter? Can you speak with authority? Let me bring it down a notch. When we speak about or pass on information about someone, that is a dangerous thing to do. Not only because we are inadvertently saying something about our own character when we do that, but also because we are placing ourselves as stewards over someone else's character. And we don't bear that authority. Only God does. God has 10 commandments. And I would say that the ninth commandment is most violated in our culture in the form of gossip. Quit spreading things that you've only heard second or third hand or that you read online. We should be convicted in our hearts about this. It's my assumption that gossip is spread mostly by prideful people. It's people who feel strong by being in the know and having insider information. And to spread gossip or share information is like flexing a muscle in front of people for them. If I said to you, don't say something about someone that you wouldn't also say in front of them, some of us stronger-willed people would be like, I would say it in front of them. I don't care if they're here or not. But you're missing the point, right? The point isn't say it whether or not they're here. It's only say it if they are here. In our social media world, in our over-communication world, it's so easy to hear many things. It's so easy to believe things that seemingly are confirmed by multiple sources. But the heart of the ninth commandment is not to just stop gossiping about people. It's to defend them from it. That's the big idea today. I don't want you to just stop gossiping. I want you to reject it. I want you to defend people from it. But we all deal with a level of pride. So here's a little test for you. Let's say someone comes to you and says, hey, did you hear? And your ears perk up and say, ooh, no, I didn't hear. Tell me. And they say, did you hear about so-and-so? Da, 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 da. And you're sitting there going, ooh, and oh yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought so. Now you got this information. Now you got this gossip in your head swirling around. And you think, man, this needs to be known. So you go to somebody else. And then you tell this other person, hey, did you hear? Da, 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 da. Hey, did you know? Hey, don't tell anybody, but listen to what I heard. Now, if that person says to you, hey, listen, I think we're in the realm of gossip right now, and that's territory I'd rather not be in. If you are offended by that, you've got a serious issue with pride in your heart. See, I think a lot of us would be like, well, you calling me a liar? Well, who makes you so high and mighty? Right? No one's calling you a liar. That person's not being high and mighty. That person's being meek and humble. It's a proactive stance to defend people who are the object of gossip. That is the true essence of the ninth commandment. I think it's prideful when we gossip, but I also think it's foolish. It's foolish when people gossip. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 14 says, "The heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly." Now, if you're a very visual person, I'm sorry about this next little story, but I'm going to go here anyway. Imagine that you are in a public restroom, and someone else walks into this public restroom, and this person looks down, and you look down, and you see some candy unwrapped on the floor. A little bit sticky, melted to the ground, but a piece of candy nonetheless, covered in dirt and hair. That person looks at you, looks at that candy, pulls it off the ground, free candy, throws it in, starts sucking on that thing. They look at you and they go, oh, I'm sorry. Want some? And you look at that and you think, well, it is the red ones. The red ones are the best. I mean, it's still got dirt, hair, and now this person spit on it, but hey, free candy. That candy is gossip. And you, if you are a follower of Christ, you should be more disgusted by gossip than that little analogy. Even if there is a kernel of truth, gossip should be disgusting to the people of God. I'm not going to ask if you've participated in spreading gossip. If you're human, I know the answer to that. But let me ask you, Have you ever been the object of it? Has anyone ever lied about you, twisted your words, or said things about you that weren't true? It hurts if you've been in that spot. It hurts bad. You feel like there's an injustice that's happened, right? And anger wells up inside you. We know that it's wrong when people do that, but we only feel that when we're the ones who have been gossiped about. Gossip turns our tongues toxic and our words into weeds. It's foolish and it's foolishness. You place the quality of your character in jeopardy when you gossip. But we keep doing it. We keep doing it. And we know why. It's because sin tastes so good. It may be from a public bathroom floor covered in dirt and hair, but it still tastes good. And we keep putting it in our mouths. Did you hear? Did you know? Listen, don't tell anybody, but listen to what I heard. Hey, can I share something with you? Hey, can you keep a secret? Guess what I heard? Our ears hear that, and we are just, tell me. I need to know. Gossip is foolishness that turns people into fools. And I'm as guilty as anyone. Fools feed on folly. So join me. Please join me and let's stop it. Let's not let gossip be something that Peace Church is guilty of. If someone has something to share and you know it's gossip, then just say, you know, that's territory I would rather not go into. As a pastor who works with many, many people, and I work with many, many groups of people, over my time in ministry, gossip has stolen so much of my time. So much of my time that should have been used for more fruitful efforts. I've heard so many things that just weren't true or just so twisted, there's no truth left in it. I've spent too much time clarifying, confirming, or cleaning up what I've heard. If a person isn't there to defend themselves, then ask them first or just bring them into the conversation. That is the loving thing to do. And I'll be honest with you, there's plenty of times where I didn't do it soon enough. And as Christians, we need to set not just the example of good character, but the example of love from a heart that has been convicted by God's love. The thing about these commandments is that they're so easy to understand at face value, but they're so hard to live out in our lives. The devil, Satan, is called both a deceiver and a liar. Here's what Jesus says about him in John chapter 8. He says, "There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." As Christians, our calling is to the antithesis of this. It is to truth. That is the calling of Christians. The calling of Christians is to lovingly defend our neighbor. Let me ask you a question. Is it ever okay to lie? A couple years back, I remember watching this one of these low-budget, off-channel Christian TV stations, and they had this segment on there. It was like an Ask the Pastor-type segment, and they had these two pastors, and people could call in and ask questions, and these two pastors would answer their questions. And this one person calls in and says, I need to know, is it ever okay to lie? The one pastor says, yes. Sometimes it's okay to lie, but only if it's in an act of love to defend someone's life. The other pastor looks at him and says, no, I would say under no circumstances is it ever permissible to lie. And here's basically what that person went on to say. He says, we are people of the light, and Jesus is the truth, and we have no business telling lies. That is the devil's den. We always tell the truth, and we let God determine what happens to us or to others. The other pastor's like, whoa, you're bringing that to a really deep level. And the pastor says, yeah, Show me in the Bible where lying is permitted. And some of you may be going there now, where this pastor went. And this pastor said, Rahab. Now, let me tell you about the story of Rahab if you don't know. Rahab was a prostitute, and she's found in Joshua chapter 2. And she was a prostitute who lived in Jericho. And what made Rahab famous was that she hid two men of Israel in her house from the king of Jericho who wanted to arrest them. And when she was asked about these two Israelite men, this is what she says. Joshua chapter 2, verses 4. She said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was closed, about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went, but if you pursue them quickly, you may be able to catch them." Verse 6, "But she had brought them up to the roof of her house and hid them." She lied to her own king in order to save those men's lives. So back to those two pastors. The one pastor says, "Rahab." And the other pastor responds, "Tell me something from the New Testament." Now, for you theological junkies, that's a very interesting question. And I wish I had time to disclose and talk about the dangers of that and how that question should have been worded. But either way, challenge laid down. "Tell me something from the New Testament." And the pastor said, "I can't think of anything." The other pastor responds, "Exactly. And that's why you shouldn't lie. But I would say that I can give you something from the New Testament." I would still point to Rahab. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a great chapter in the Bible. It talks about the great heroes of the faith. And it lists out all these amazing people of faith from the Old Testament. And here's what it says about Rahab. Rahab the prostitute is mentioned as one of the great heroes of the faith. Hebrews 11, verse 31. It says, "By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." See, Jericho ends up being destroyed, but Rahab and her family are saved. In fact, Rahab enters into the genealogy of Jesus. The acts of Rahab are upheld and commemorated in the New Testament. So on the one hand, I agree with those pastors that it's safe to say that lying is a sin. But let's be honest. Most of the time when we lie, it has nothing to do with righteous reasons. It has something to do with evil reasons. It's not righteous actions. We lie because we're trying to cover up something we did, or we're trying to change the perception of what we have done. I am in no way trying to ever give license to lying or to outline where it's permissible or where it's not. In fact, I had this guy come to me after first service and says, "I got to be honest with you, I agreed with that second pastor that you should never, ever lie." I said, "Well, okay. So question for you then. 1930s Germany, you got some Jews hidden in your basement. Nazis come to your door. What do you say?" He said, "Well, I wouldn't lie, but I would try to divert them. I tried to divert the answer and try to steer them away from the question so I didn't have to lie." And here's what we try to talk about through this entire sermon series. We try to figure out how can we obey the letter of the law instead of how do I fulfill the spirit of the law, which is love. Love should be the guiding principle of us following the laws of God. If we're following law without love, we're not fulfilling it, and vice versa. So again, I'm not trying to give license to lying. I think it is safe to say that lying is a sin. We're prohibited from it elsewhere in the Bible. But it is fulfilled when it is in an act of love and in faith. You take love and faith out of the equation and you have legalism. And that will not save you. We need to operate in love and in faith. And that's what the Bible says, that Rahab was saved by her faith. Not the act of lying to save people, but it was her faith in the Hebrew God. So let me reiterate. I believe it's a sin to lie. But we see here that Rahab lied to save those lives of the two men, to defend her neighbor. She was fulfilling the spirit of the law. And God blesses her, and she is honored throughout the pages of Scripture. But it is her faith that saves her. So before we continue on, I need to take a moment and have a little heart-to-heart with those in the room and with you in the venue. I rarely use the word hate. So let me just say this. I super dislike standing up here and telling everyone not to gossip. If you are part of Peace Church for any length of time, you'll know that myself, Pastor Adam, our other pastors, we have no problem getting up here and talking about difficult stuff or tackling hard conversations. But the reason I don't like talking about gossip is because in all my years of speaking against it, it's hard to feel like it's made any sort of difference. And I'm just going to call us all out onto the rug right now. I have seen God penetrate the hardest of hearts and people in hard areas of their lives. I've seen people repent of certain sins and turn their lives around for the glory of God. But I've never stood up here or anywhere else and called out the sin of gossip and had someone come to me after the message and be like, "Pastor, I'm a gossip and I need to repent and turn my life around." Hasn't happened yet. In fact, as a pastor, I continually deal with it at some level. People, you do and I do, we have 1,001 reasons why we feel justified in gossiping. We take a certain gossip and we contextualize it and we say, this issue right here, this is okay to talk about. We are masters at justifying our own sin. And you probably know when gossip comes to your ears or when it comes out of your mouth. So how do we close our ears and close our mouths to gossip? How do we get there? Well, I think it starts by opening our eyes to Jesus. Jesus who said, "I am the truth." And we have another calling to uphold and lovingly defend the truth. The other night at our Halloween outreach, our best guest is that we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,300 people come through our doors on Halloween night. If you were there, you know, it was awesome, but it was packed. Our entire parking lot was packed. We had cars lined up and down the roads. It was amazing. I saw so many faces I had never seen before in my entire life. It was awesome to see and welcome people. I think our church put our best foot forward as we opened up our facility and welcomed the community in, and we loved them, and we had a great and fun and safe time. But I ran into somebody that I hadn't seen in years. It was a guy I used to work with before I went into ministry. And we spent some time catching up, but then at one point I said, "Man, I hope to see you at church on Sunday." And he says, "Yeah, I don't know about that." He said, "You know, all those religions out there," he said, "how do you know which one?" And I was kind of joking. I said, "Which one to choose?" And he responded back seriously, and he said, "How do you know which one's right?" And he goes on to say in a very courteous way, he's like, "You know, I don't mean to step on your life's work, man, but how do you know your religion is the right one?" Common question we get on a fairly regular basis, been answered throughout the centuries. People continue to ask it. We spend Christianity culture classes answering that question. I said, "Hey, man, that is a great, great, big question. But let's get together, and I can give you the long answer, but let me give you my short answer. Faith, history, and love." His eyebrow raised, and I said, "I'm a pastor. I always have to have 3 points." I said, "Faith, history, and love." I said, "Faith." I said, Jesus is either the only way or he's not the way. But you can't put him as just another option among many. His message is qualitatively different and the opposite of every other message from every other world religious leader. Every other religion points the way to God or shows you how to live a good life. Jesus is the only one who comes and says, "I am the way, and I've come to give you an abundant life." My friend goes and he gives a common response that tries to go in a different direction. He says, or Jesus is just the greatest cult leader of all time. To which I said, or he's the greatest savior of all time. If you're gonna examine the one side of the coin, spend some time examining the other side of the coin. I said, but that leads me to the next thing, history. Let's look at history. I said, what I love about the Christian faith is that it teaches us that God sees me exactly as I am, a wretch, knowing full well that I don't deserve salvation, I don't deserve heaven, and I certainly don't deserve God. God knows this. And so to save me, what God does is he breaks from eternity and he steps into human history. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, steps into human history on a rescue mission to save me by living the life that I should have lived, perfect and sinless. But he died the death on the cross in a real historical moment, a death on the cross that I should have died. And in a real historical moment, he rises again, and he does this in obedience to God and in love for people. And that brings me to the third one, love. There is no greater act of love than what we see in Jesus Christ. Put any other world religion up against what Christ has done, and it's laughable. Nobody loves like Jesus does. Jesus owns the corner market on love. And yet, with God seeing all my sins, the Bible doesn't say, well, God still loves you. God actually provides a way to experience his love, and it's through faith in Jesus Christ. I can experience the greatest love there is, and I can let that love flow through me and to the world around me. Now, I just gave you the preaching version of that conversation, but he responds by saying, that's the short version? I'm a pastor, man. Don't ask me about Jesus. You're going to get a sermon. My friends, God does not bear false witness against us. He doesn't lie about us. He sees us as we are, lost and hopeless. But through Christ, we are saved and made hopeful. We are called as Christians to be ready to give a hope that we have in Christ at any moment. Are you ready, my fellow Christian? If someone says, how do you know your religion is the right one? Do you have a response prepared? Can you speak just from your genuine love of Jesus and give a response that's compelling? Can you bear true witness? Can you bear true testimony to not just your neighbor, but to Jesus? See, we are wretched gossips, but he is our wonderful God. Before we go to communion, I'm going to ask that you would pray with me. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you that you are God and we are not, that your character is pure, your authority is final. Help us to walk humbly before you and before others. Keep gossip and foolishness and pride from our mouths. Fill our mouths with a true testimony about our neighbors and about our Savior. And it's in his name we pray, in Jesus' name, pray these things. And everyone said, amen. Amen.